You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. This is Montana Talks. You got Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint as Aaron takes some much-needed rest and relaxation with his family over the holidays. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm also thankful that my good friend Matt Robertson decided to join me the day after Christmas at 7 o'clock in the morning in studio to talk about what's going on around the state of Montana from economic activity, economic investment. So, Matt, welcome in. Thanks for coming in today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, Matt, first give us a sense of where you're at, who you work with, and how long you've been in commercial real estate, because it's been a hot second.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
Yep.
So I got into real estate back in 2004. So it's been about 21 years. I'm currently one of the owners at NAI Business Properties, and then I'm the sole owner of Rove, which is a management company and an appraisal company. So been doing this for a while, all in Montana. Just absolutely love Montana. Grew up here out in Huntley, and really enjoy it, kind of being able to work in a community that I get to serve. So
yeah, no, that's awesome. And Matt is one of the smartest real estate, commercial real estate investment guys and prognosticators I've spent time around. I mean, he's been in the game for longer than I've been out of college, frankly. But it took me 6 years to get through college with a bachelor's degree because I'm one step removed from being a glass licker. That's that Culbertson education that I got. But we have worked with Matt on a lot of deals here in Billings, and I mean, hell, we're partners in a deal.
Yep.
Yeah. The thing that I appreciate about Matt's perspective is it's not just about how quick you can turn it today. It's always looking at what does this look like in the long game.
Yeah.
And the opportunities. And the thing I think that you bring to the table that I'm interested to talk about here as we get into some of the following segments is not just selling commercial properties, but also managing commercial properties, which is a big portion of what you do with Rove, and the valuation side of things, and the perspective that doing valuations on the front end for banks and financial institutions on existing commercial properties gives you some indications on what's going on. The managing of commercial properties also gives you a unique and different perspective about what's happening in investments of existing properties, and then marketing, selling, and brokering those deals. So I'm excited to get into this next segment and start talking about what we are seeing, what we saw in 2025, and what we're looking for. So this hour, we're going to talk about investments and the economic activity here in Montana, and we're going to leave with some good information and some good hope. So we're going to take a quick break. This is Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny breaks and some cloudiness around the region as we head through the day today. High temperature readings will stay in the mid-40s. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, temperatures drop back in the lower 30s. And then the outlook for Friday calls for breaks of sun and some cloud cover with high temperatures from the upper 40s to around 50 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Morning in Montana.
Hold your phone calls for today. You're listening to a best of Montana Talks.
All right. Welcome back to Montana Talks. This is Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint. And I got my good friend Matt Robertson in studio with me. So
good morning.
We are ready to talk about what's going on in the Montana economy.
Yeah.
So, Matt, like, what have you seen looking back at 2025? You got a unique perspective because you see tip to tail all of the investment portfolio and where private equity and private money is moving in Montana. Like, what have you seen looking back at 2025? Some things that that kind of piqued your interest and of note to you.
2025 was a good year for real estate in Montana. We've seen kind of some ups and downs. Fourth quarter, we saw some slowdown. Our industrial market tightened for the first time a little bit. I think that probably most of the stuff that we're seeing come in were like more larger users. So we've got those 20 to 40,000 square foot logistics companies and kind of
warehousing.
Yeah, mid-level.
Transload.
Yep.
Shipping.
So we had a lot of activity in that coming into the year, and then fourth quarter started to slow down. We attribute that maybe to some of the tariffs that are coming in, the unknown. Now with interest rates dropping, now commercial rates are somewhere in that 6% range. We see those tariffs start to lift, which have hold back your supply, creating a little bit stronger demand. Those interest rates come down. If we see those tariffs start to lighten up a little bit, I think we're going to really start seeing those industrial users come back to the market very quickly. Montana has definitely been on the radar for a lot of these logistics users just because it's such a large territory. And Billings specifically services that territory really well.
Yeah, what are you seeing from a from an industrial user and a logistics standpoint when you go over into like the Butte market and the Missoula market and the Kalispell market? I mean, Billings is where you and I live. It's where we focus. But you also represent
statewide.
Yeah. So you got a foot in all those markets. So what are you seeing on the western side of the divide?
It's really interesting. Billings has always been the industrial hub for Montana. We've got a lot of second, third-gen product where you've got owner-users that have come in early, back in the 70s, and built big warehouses to service Montana out of our area. You don't really see that in Kalispell or Bozeman or Missoula. I mean, they've got some, but certainly not to the extent that Billings has. So we've got this, and we're seeing it in office space as well. We've got this big delta between existing rates and new construction rates. Obviously, new construction is way, way more expensive than buying existing. But then you go into the markets like Bozeman and Missoula, and you don't have that existing product.
Yeah, there's no inventory.
There's zero inventory. So your only option is new construction. I mean, so we placed same tenant. We have the tenant that went into Bozeman, first started in Missoula, came to Billings, placed him in Great Falls, and then went to Bozeman. Those three rates were substantially different. Billings rate, $6 a square foot. Missoula rate, $9 a square foot. A little sticker shock there, going into an existing product. Bozeman, $21 a square foot. And this is for 20,000 square feet of warehouse space. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, in Billings, that would be like Class A retail. So yeah. It's kind of crazy. And that's based on supply and demand. There's just no existing product. So your only option is go new.
Yeah, and you know, the reason that we're going down this conversation is this is like the tip of the spear for economic activity in the state of Montana. This is where we start to see investments, not just with existing companies that are here, but new companies coming in.
Yeah.
And those new companies are bringing jobs, they're bringing capital investment into the marketplace, increasing our local tax bases, and really boosting the local economies. And so when we talk about real estate investment, commercial real estate investment, like that's the tip of the spear in from my perspective. And that's why I'm so interested in that as a marker for where we're going, where we've come from and where we're going. So on the industrial side of things, what as our state has grown and the western side of the state has grown more rapidly than the eastern side of the state, Billings has always had kind of a steady 3, 4, 5% growth pattern through economic downturns all the like, we don't see the spikes up and down, but how's our population growth been on the western side in driving what you're seeing on the industrial side of the marketplace? And we'll talk about office and those types of things, but what is population and growth in our state done to drive what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think it's a big factor in what that looks like. We through the Amazon effect we want things faster, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to have things closer if you want them faster. So that's why we're seeing a lot of these last mile Amazon facility. We just have one in Billings. We've got one in Bozeman now. Missoula has one. Kalispell is getting one. So I think as we see that population increase, we're going to see more and more of those users kind of push into those markets.
Yeah. Well, that's great. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some of the other sectors that we're seeing across the state of Montana. Great information. If you're interested in economic growth and what our state is looking at, come and stick around. This is Montana Talks.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good Thursday morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. I'm Lane Northmont. As we begin the new year, U.S. sheep producers are happy to see they have a little more time to contact Congress as imported lamb continues to pressure domestic markets. The American Sheep Industry Association is urging lawmakers to support a Section 201 global safeguard investigation under the Trade Act of 1974.
We've seen imports from Australia and New Zealand significantly rise from 45% over many years to like 70-75% now. That is huge volume coming in and not competitive to U.S. producers.
That's Texas sheep producer Tammy Fisher, who serves as Secretary Treasurer of the American Sheep Industry Association, and she says that ASI is advancing bipartisan Dear Colleague letters in both the House and Senate, urging the U.S. Trade Representative to support a U.S. International Trade Commission investigation for lamb imports from countries like Australia and New Zealand. The deadline for congressional signatures has been extended to Friday, January 9th, 2026, giving producers more time to contact their lawmakers.
They get a lot of unfair advantages, we feel like, over there that we don't have access to amphiminix like they do, and we don't have access to a lot of drugs like they do. They don't have a coyote or wolf problem like we do. They come over cheaper than we do. It ends up being an unfair playing field. So we're looking for fair trade for the lamb industry in America. We have to fill that shelf space. So trade is good. Competitive trade is good. We need that to fill that shelf space. We also need to grow more lamb at the same time. So it's a leveling out of our industry as we do that. Hopefully out of that trade action, we will end up with some remedies that are helpful to the industry that levels that playing field.
Congressman Doug LaMalfa of California and Montana Senator Steve Daines are helping sheep producers in their letter campaign to push Congress and the Trump administration to call for a trade investigation. Again, the deadline for congressional signatures is coming up January 9th. Producers can find resources and action tools to work with their elected officials by visiting sheepusa.org.
Cattle producers 2025 delivered record highs driven by tight supplies and strong demand, and the outlook for 2026 remains strong. This optimism sets the stage for the first major auction of the year, Superior's Bellringer Video Auction in Oklahoma City. January 6th and 7th, over 80,000 head of quality calves, feeders, and breadstock sell from ranchers you trust. Browse the catalog or watch online at superiorlivestock.com or bid online at superiorclicktobid.com. Farmers, it's time to make plans to attend the 2026 Montana and Wyoming Barley and Sugar Beet Symposium, January 6th and 7th at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center. The symposium will once again feature critical topics like weather, drones, chemical and licensing changes, fertilizer use, disease, EPA, and generational farm planning. It's one of the best educational and entertaining symposiums for sugar beets, malt barley, precision ag, soil health, and a variety of other topics. To register, visit mountainstateag.com.
Well, it seems retail fertilizer prices were mostly lower to wrap up 2025. 7 of 8 fertilizers tracked moved lower month over month, led by DAP, down 6% to average $866 a ton. MAP, potash, urea, anhydrous, and UAN products were also slightly lower, while 1034O was the only fertilizer higher. Despite recent declines, all 8 fertilizers remain higher than a year ago, with some nitrogen products up more than 25%. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northlund. Happy New Year.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
Welcome back. This is Scott Aspenlighter in for Aaron Flint. And again, I got my good friend Matt Robertson in studio. So we were just talking about, you know, kind of the industrial effects and industrial investments around the state. And one of the things I'm always curious about is not just making an investment, making a smart investment.
Yeah.
One of the things I think that's super beneficial is your perspective from the valuation side of things of making sure that we're making investments in a smart fashion.
Yeah.
Where are you seeing values increase? And so I'm curious to kind of get some perspective from you on what you're seeing around the state from a valuation standpoint. What are the trends you're seeing on that front?
Yeah. So I tell the team all the time, we've got to be constantly positioning for disposition, so then they roll their eyes because I say that a lot, but I mean it. And one of the reasons why we started Rove is to be able to position for disposition, meaning you can buy an asset today, but if you're not thinking about the exit, if you're not thinking about how and when you're going to get out of this, you may be getting yourself into trouble. You've got to. Stuff happens, right? I mean, yeah. Life happens. So when we're walking down the road with a client or a corporate client coming into Montana saying, where do you want to be? We utilize the information that we get from our valuation team. And they do commercial appraisals and valuation work for banks across the state. So you get really kind of fine-tuned data into all of these different markets. So you see where that activity is going. Bitterroot Valley, huge activity still of down into Hamilton and Victor. I mean, a lot of activity down there, which is really interesting. It's kind of fun to see.
And the Bitterroot is one of those quiet areas of the state of Montana. It's also a conservative haven in Montana. But it's one of the forgotten regions of the state of Montana that's absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
wonderful area. And it's interesting that you say what you're seeing in a valuation standpoint, the Bitterroot is continuing to grow and climb.
Yeah.
As we look at eastern Montana, you know, Billings is always kind of the central discussion of eastern Montana. But when you get further east, it seems like the only time we talk about Far East Montana, you know, the Sydneys, the Mile Cities, the Glasgows and Maltas of eastern Montana. What are you seeing out there in kind of the quiet part of our state, ag part of our state?
I'm really glad you asked. I've sat on a few in a few forums relative to energy and power.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've got Colstrip. That's been heavily.
Want more Montana Talks? Download the app and listen from anywhere, anytime. We'll be back with more of Best of Montana Talks.
Every dollar counts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
All right. This is Scott Aspenletter sitting in for Aaron Flint as Aaron takes some time away with his family over the holidays. Grateful to have my friend Matt Robertson come in the day after Christmas. Battling through a little sickness, yeah. but he's toughing it out so we can talk and educate the listeners about what's going on from investments. Yeah. So, Matt, we've talked about everything except for the one thing that probably impacts everybody,
yeah.
which is the retail space. Billings has seen quite a lot of activity in retail on the west side. I know Kalispell is growing exponentially in retail. So is yep. Bozeman, Missoula, Butte is even seeing some. So, let's kind of kick into the retail activity. Where are we seeing investment activity in retail, and kind of how do you see that? What have you seen this last year?
Yeah. So what we have seen is a lot of these national tenants, or no, let's step back, these national investment groups start looking at some of these tertiary markets. We talked about the COVID effect in office.
Mm-hmm.
That COVID effect has changed the way investors and capital groups look at primary markets and secondary markets, because when things go sideways, everybody goes to tertiary markets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we saw in Montana. And Montana arguably is a tertiary market in itself.
Yep.
So with respect to retail, we're seeing a lot more focus from regional developers and investors coming into Billings. Billings being the largest city in three states, these investors look at Billings because of, like you said, the consistency and predictability within the market. So we're seeing a whole bunch of activity in that kind of mid-box retail market really across the state, like you'd mentioned.
And so as we talk about, you know, kind of that mid-box stuff, like what are some of the most recent, like, examples of mid-box so the listener knows what we're talking about?
Yeah. So, like, mid-box would be a 20 to 40,000 square foot retail space. Costco.
Yeah.
They moved to their new location, leaving a hole at home next to them, went down. Those went on the market. Significant activity for those two. I think they're, can't tell you, say a lot of details,
yeah.
but obviously it's been in the news. There's a pickleball court, there's a family activity center. That yep. investor was a Boise investor that was coming into Montana. That kind of fell apart, but we got a new investor coming in. So a lot of activity in those markets. You
yep.
you look at across the street from Costco, West End, and Shiloh, Gable. That was just taken down. Big 80-acre retail development that I think is going to be kind of the next Shiloh Crossing.
A mm-hmm.
Lot of activity, great infrastructure access. Right off the interstate. I mean, that's going to be and we've got a lot of kind of mid-box, larger users looking at that site
yeah.
To really continue the development of Billings. I think it's going to be fun.
So as we look at retail space, I mean, Billings has seen a lot, and we've got the population base to support it. The difference in Billings and Bozeman with, you know, less than half the population, Bozeman has retailers that we do not have.
Yeah.
They have those higher-end Lululemons, the, you know, the Lucchese boot store, which I love. I got a pair of Lucchese's. I love that place. How do you see
the Bozeman market versus on a retail perspective, and then maybe toss that over to Missoula and Kalispell as well.
Yeah, so Bozeman is unique. I mean, in all aspects, Bozeman gets the retailers because of their demographics. Mm-hmm. While it's smaller, their income is way higher than everywhere else in the state. So because of that, it attracts these larger base tenants, more nationally acclaimed, like a Lulu.
Mm-hmm. They got the first Whole Foods in Montana.
They got the first, well, not Kalispell got the first Chick-fil-A. But you're going to continue to see, once they start, then they start spreading out through the state.
Right.
Usually they pick a spot, any retailer, whether that's Chick-fil-A or Chipotle or whomever. They're going to find a spot, plant a flag, and then move around. I mean, yeah. Helena's getting their first Chick-fil-A now. So
yeah.
you see it slowly move throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. What, we don't talk about Great Falls a lot either.
Yeah,
Great Falls, very similar to Billings.
Yep.
It's not Bozeman. It's not Missoula. It's not the Flathead. It's probably closest related to Billings. They don't have the medical complex,
but they have the Air Force.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what are you seeing up in that Great Falls market?
I really like, we've done some investing up in Great Falls. I like the Great Falls market. It goes back to that consistency and predictability.
Mm-hmm.
type community, just like Billings. I think they've got a lot of new fun redevelopment downtown, and a lot of people leaning in. Their multifamily growth has been strong. One of the new nursing schools from MSU, MSU's putting out those five nursing schools.
Yep.
We have the privilege of managing all five of those nursing schools across the state. And the first one was up in Great Falls. So I see communities like that getting that type of infrastructure only as a positive step in the right direction.
Yeah, and I always say Billings and Great Falls, like, we're not the shiniest object on the Christmas tree. We're not the shiniest ornament. We're not the sexiest thing. But we're the most steady and consistent.
Yep.
We're the part of Montana that drives the economy and keeps it stable.
Right.
You know, we reap the benefits of the spikes west of the divide and the, you know, in the Kalispells and the Missoulas and Bozemans, and those are always the shiny things that take all the, but the base of our economic activity really happens in communities like Billings and Great Falls. So as we look at the future in 2026 and the retail space, do you see things starting to level out in the western side of the state, or do you still see a steady climb?
I think we are going to start ceiling. Multifamily is usually a good indicator of that,
mm-hmm.
And we're already starting to see that soften in places like Missoula and Bozeman. Their absorption, meaning the new tenants coming in, taking the available vacancy, is slowing. The vacancy is going up, absorption is going down. Those are things that are good indicators of, ooh, we're seeing a little bit of softening in those markets. They've had a lot of growth in the new construction side, mm-hmm. of things. And up until now, they've absorbed that relatively well. Well, now it's starting to soften. Not a lot of new multifamily starts up there, but a lot of new retail development. So
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to start seeing a little bit of a leveling off in some of those other markets and then kind of pushing into different sectors. So I would say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, one of the things that I'm excited to see here, and I've been interested to see over the last year is the stabilization, I'll call stabilization because I can't think of a better word, this kind of the stabilization of what we have from an inventory standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we have got through the COVID bumps. We've leveled ourselves out. We've got through the goofy stuff that happened with interest rates and the stock markets and the tariffs. You know, now we're kind of stabilizing a little bit. And now over the last, you know, the last 6 months, really, we've kind of seen ourselves re-regulate in 2025. And some of these industries and sectors are really interesting to me. Multifamily housing as a commercial investment is one of those things that I think here in Billings, we've seen the same thing.
Yep.
You know, we put almost 2,000 doors into the market over a 2.5 year, over a 30-month period,
yeah,
between 2022 and 2024. 2,000 doors.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. And vacancy rates were very, very low. Like, in the high 80s was the absorption rate, was the occupancy rate. And now we're starting to see that soften. And what that means for, you know, renters is now you're going to start to see prices stabilize and possibly prices start to go down as we need to stabilize. So you teed it up perfectly in that being an indicator. So now when we come back in the last segment of this hour, I want to talk about what we're excited about in 2026.
Definitely.
And how that looks for Montana going forward. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Montana Talks.
You're listening to a best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
By the way, I got to give props to John Fetterman. He actually said it is an absolute betrayal for Israel, for the worldwide Jewish community, about empowering Hamas. He said whether it's France, Australia, any of these nations, our Western allies, calling for a two-state solution when Hamas refuses to disarm, are actively trying to kill Jews. I can't imagine why anybody would do that at this point. He also criticized Democrats for embracing what he called openly hostile anti-Israel rhetoric, saying it's now become a more and more part of my party's platform. And he says, I just can't imagine why so many people continue to back away or kind of deflect condemning these horrific acts of terrorism.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you ever thought about upgrading your window treatments but didn't want the hassle, our friends at Blinds.com are here to change the game. They are the only company that lets you shop for custom blinds and shades online. You just go to Blinds.com. You can skip the stress. Blinds.com makes it easy to get that designer look without that showroom markup. Now, you get the same quality, the same service you would at other high-end stores, but you get it at a fraction of the price. Now, samples, they'll send them to your door directly. Now, more than just blinds, Blinds.com carries everything from bamboo shades to shutters, outdoor shades for your patio, and much, much more. All Blinds.com orders are back with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, Blinds.com is giving you, my listeners, an exclusive $50 off offer when you spend $500 or more. Just use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, when you check out. It's a limited time offer. Just go to Blinds.com for details.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman, with sunny breaks and some cloudiness around the region as we head through the day today. High temperature readings will stay in the mid-40s. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, temperatures drop back in the lower 30s. And then the outlook for Friday calls for breaks of sun and some cloud cover with high temperatures from the upper 40s to around 50 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, if you're traveling through the holidays, through the new year, I'll tell you what, make sure you have the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Heck, sometimes you'll have the button right on your dashboard in your vehicle if you have the Montana Talks app on your phone. And then you can listen to the show live. You can download podcast audio, plus get any of the news stories or commentary that we publish on the site as well. Yeah, get the Montana Talks app on your phone. Great to have with you through the holidays and the new year. Back now with the best of Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. This is Scott Aspenletter sitting in for the great Aaron Flint. Appreciate the opportunity to drive the Montana Talks ship for the day. in studio with Matt Robertson talking about, you know, commercial activity in across the state of Montana. And Matt, you teased up perfectly some of the things that that are exciting about next year.
Yeah.
And so this last segment, what I really want to talk about is what, let's look ahead into 2026 and what opportunities are you seeing, not just in Billings, but across the state, and what are you excited about?
Yeah, so I think one of the big drivers for me and the team and really the investors that are out there, I think interest rates are a big thing. That creates more affordability. Affordability in all aspects is a big deal, whether that's on a residential home or a 30,000 square foot warehouse.
Yep.
We touched on it before. We're starting to see rates kind of come into that 6.25, 6.5. Those are good rates. Banks make good money. You can get investment deals to work at those rates. So I think that's going to be really beneficial. I'm excited for just kind of the standard growth, the new construction. We've got a significant amount of investment coming into Montana. You've got Intermountain Health building their new 80,000 square foot logistics center here in Billings. Mm-hmm. It's going to service the entire state, and as well as the new hospital laundry for the new facility. You've got the Honaker and Don Cape doing the big AC Marriott downtown. I mean, yep. Just a lot of infrastructure and a lot of investment. That investment is going to spur additional investment.
Yeah.
And when you get that kind of flywheel effect, it allows for some really fun opportunities. I tell the team, we follow the tenant. So as we have kind of first step users putting these big investments, other tenants will come into the market. That allows us to kind of follow those tenants, move into investments with those tenants, and continue to develop a great product for Montana.
Yeah. And that's Billings, I think, is positioned incredibly well, and I'm grateful for that. Our community is pretty wonderful. It's, I mean, frankly, that's why Craig and I started our engineering firm here in Billings.
Yeah.
It is historically the most stable community in the state of Montana, and the economic base here has created an engine that is just going to continue to roll.
Yeah.
What are you seeing for opportunities up in Kalispell and Missoula as we head into the next year?
I think new development opportunities are going to be big in those areas. You're going to see, I mean, we've got a project going out by the airport, which kind of would service kind of logistically that whole Kalispell area, Columbia Falls and Kalispell and Whitefish. You look at Missoula, I think we're seeing more industrial plays. So I'm obviously very bullish on industrial. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to continue to lean into that. We're going to continue to push our investors into industrial across the state. I think that's a pretty solid market.
Yeah. What about retail space? I mean, what do you feel is coming with retail for Montana in 2026?
I think we're going to start seeing more of an experiential-based retail. Still strong. I mean, that's probably our strongest sector across the state.
Perfect. Well, Matt, I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your knowledge and your experience. And I appreciate you getting up at 7 a.m. the day after Christmas and coming and sharing your knowledge with the listeners. So thanks for coming in. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Ty Elkin after the break. This is Montana Talks.
Want more Montana Talks? Download the app and listen from anywhere, anytime. We'll be back with more of Best of Montana Talks.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Are you about to mow the lawn? It's blazing hot out here, Smokey Bear says.
Avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry. It's all on SmokeyBear.com, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.